Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
As we've been announcing, we are giving consideration to Story Sunday. If you're new or newer to Living Waters, from time to time, we have meetings and gatherings centered around Christian story. And certainly in this month of February, when we're considering our church, this is our church, we've been intentionally introducing you to some people that have a good relationship with this community and have history and are helping us discover what God has for us in the future. And today, we want to talk with Deanna Goodman. I'm going to invite her to the platform. So, Deanna has been on a ministry team here at Living Waters Church for well over 13 years. And perhaps some of you are seeing Deanna for the first time, because most often, or all the time actually, Deanna's downstairs serving with kids in the fort and serving our preteens on Sunday nights. And for over 13 years, believe it, she's been doing this so well, and we're so thankful for her and her family. But Deanna, your ministry with kids began before Living Waters.
Yes.
You, as a young child, traveled with your family and were involved in children's ministry and crusades. Just tell us a little bit. It's fascinating.
A lot of people probably don't know this about me, so it's fun to actually get to share that piece. But yes, many years ago when I was a child, we traveled across Canada and all over the world. My mom was a children's evangelist, and so as a kid, I got to do that. I got to go all over and get to share about Jesus' love with people from all over the place, which was a really cool thing to get to do as a kid. Lots of ups and downs, lots of learning to trust God and having faith. We sold everything when I was about 8 years old, and we bought a bus, and we traveled on that bus all over the place.
Wow. Wow. Can't imagine. Homeschooling all the way, right?
Like, yeah, in some homeschooling ways. We had a teacher that traveled with us, and so we were homeschooled all over the place.
I'm sure that in the midst of those ups and those downs on that journey, that there was wonderful things that were used to shape your heart for kids ministry that probably has allowed you to have a bit of a longevity in your current ministry. Help us understand that.
Exactly. You know what? When I was young, our ministry was our whole family's ministry, not just my mom or my dad. It was everybody. So we were all involved in sharing the gospel with others. So we sang, I led songs at camps and Bible verses and whatever. And so within my little heart when I was young, God just kept speaking to me and the importance of children knowing Jesus and how children can change the lives of not just, you know, themselves, but also their families as well. And so it was really sweet to get to see that happening at a young age and know the value of being a child and being involved in ministry.
So 13 years on a journey. Last Sunday, if you were here, we had a conversation with Doug Smith and Joanne. And so you have history here. And you still carry a tremendous amount of enthusiasm about Living Waters Church. This is your church. Why do you love Living Waters so much? It's part of who you are. Just help
us. There's so many things I love about Living Waters. I think when I think back to way, way back when I started here 13 plus years ago, there were 10 kids that, and most of them were our staff kids that were a part of the church. And now we have like 120 kids that can come on a Sunday morning. So it's really cool to see how Living Waters loves children and families. I always feel so blessed that up here there's a service going on, but on the lower floor there are also services going on. And God's working in the hearts of those kids. And so I've always felt that so passionate about being here, and this is where God has wanted me to be. And so I just think that just the things that we really believe in, like generosity and caring and mentoring, releasing, I just see it all over the place. And messiness, we can just come and be who we are here. And that's just such a beautiful thing.
So I know that you still carry hope for the future, and you have ideas about the future. What are you thinking about as you look forward to the next 40 years that you're going to be on the team here?
Yeah.
You're going to take Harold's job eventually, right? No, but tell us a little bit about that.
You know what? I think every year that I've been here, God has just done something new. And a few years ago, and many of you have been involved in the gift that was here at Christmas time, and just being able to reach out into our community and just the ability to be able to do that more and more so. And we also have a big preteen thing that's coming up a day here. And so God just keeps putting these ideas and plants them on our hearts as a children's ministry team, which is awesome. And every year there's something a little bit different. But a big piece is just kids growing in their knowledge this year, growing in their knowledge to have confidence in their faith along with their journey so that they can go out into their families, their communities, and their worlds and feel confident. It's reaching their heart and letting them know that God is with them and God loves them. And I think that is something really special this year that I've been hearing little stories of, you know, even from 2 years old and up, of stories of them going out into their communities and showing love to others. And that's just fabulous.
That's awesome. Well, Deanna, thank you. You represent a life that's being lived so well and so faithfully. And, of course, your team, your family, thank you. Thanks for being a part of the present and the future. There's really good days ahead. Thanks for being a part of that.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
That's awesome.
We're going to hear another story from someone who's been a part of our church for quite some time, Christy Friesen. So where is Christy? Come on up, Christy. Let's welcome Christy. Christy has a wonderful story of participation in this community and where that's led her. So thanks for sharing with us this morning, Christy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a middle school teacher, and it's always different speaking in front of adults than it is with middle school kids. So I'm going to really try hard not to take your phones away from you if you're texting while I'm talking, but I'll really try hard. I've been coming to Living Waters for about 10 years now, and I've clearly seen the importance of building church community. I came at a challenging time in my life where I was experiencing a loss. A family member who was very close to me was dying of cancer, and it was really hard. It was really hard to carry that, and I was pretty broken. And every time I would come in here, I would be alone. I didn't really have very many friends. I didn't know people, and yet Doug and Linda would give me a hug, would pray for me, and would just really encourage me. So I'm just so thankful for you guys. And other people in the community in our church came and really supported me, and that really helped me through that time. I was alone at that time, but over time, I got some friends, I built relationships, built friends, but I still had moments where life was challenging and I had to carry my own burdens, and I felt like I was carrying them alone. So one particular time, I was coming to church, and I was on my way to church, I was just praying to God that I felt so alone in my struggles that I had at the time. And I sat in a row, like around there, and it was really funny that, not funny at the time, but as community time ended, the people who were sitting in the same row as me all got up and left, and I was all of a sudden physically alone in that row. And sometimes, like, you can be in a sea of people at church with so many people around, and you can still feel alone. And when in that instance, I felt very much alone in that row, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked back, and it was somebody I didn't know very well. It was Michael Shelton, and he was sitting there with his family, and there was a seat in the middle. It was empty, like smack dab in the middle of that row, and he said, "Do you want to come sit with us?" And it was so kind. It was so kind of him to welcome me like that. But I also, I didn't want to make a scene. The sermon was already starting, and I didn't want to make a scene, which is kind of ironic because I often come in late. I'm the late person, and so I often make a scene when I come in. But he welcomed me, and yet I said, no, don't want to make a scene. But then I sat alone in what I was carrying, and I cried a little, and then I felt another tap on my shoulder, and he just said, "You're not alone." And in that moment, it was really amazing to me that God was speaking to me through him, and that was a word that was so important that I needed to hear that night, that day, and it really encouraged me. So I often think, like, when I come to church, who are the people that I need to tap on the shoulder and say, "You're not alone," because we all have moments like that. So one of the ways that I realized that I could help not be alone was being in community, and that was a great way of getting connected was through life groups. And so I had a friend who I didn't really know very well at the time. We met through mutual friends, and we saw each other at parties and stuff, and we both decided to start a life group together. And I have to tell you, it was a great time to be together, but there were some times when things just didn't work out. You know, sometimes when you're with a group, you'll find people you click with, and you'll find people that you don't, and that's okay. It was really challenging sometimes when we found that personalities just didn't get along, or people had different motivations for being at the life group, and that's kind of what happens sometimes. And if we just went, "We give up, I'm not going to do life groups anymore," I would have missed out on a lot of great things, because I found that through diversity, learning about different people, where they're at, who they are, we can develop really good friendships and find purpose in our life groups. I continued to be in life groups, and sometimes I led some, and sometimes I was participating in them, and I really found that my favorite thing was getting to know people's different perspectives. So having that diversity, the diversity of different age, different gender, marital status, like people who were married or single, people who had different cultural backgrounds, people who had different religious backgrounds, people who had different political views, all of those added to a richness of our group, and that was so so valuable, and it allowed us to see God's word as we studied together through different lens and even in deeper ways, we were able to connect, and that was wonderful. A couple of those people who were in my previous life group, they began. Actually, we decided to start a life group together, and I was super excited about it because these were people who challenged me and encouraged me. And then God had a different plan, and he took them up north. Cam and Tatiana moved up north to Fort St. John, and I was left with this wonderful, diverse group that I felt like I was very overwhelmed with leading. So I had heaviness when I would come home from work, and I felt like I was empty a lot of times. And there in our group, I was like, I have nothing else to give. And yet, God really helped out in big ways by speaking through people to encourage me in my life, to have an opportunity to pray together and encourage one another. And at the end of most of those evenings, I would feel so encouraged and so blessed and thankful that I had that time together with those people. We also had opportunities to work together and do great things together, which was really encouraging to not only us, but other people in our community. And I'm reminded of Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, where it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So in our groups, we had individuals who took on exciting things on their own, like on their own initiative to help out the community. And there's some people who worked, or we were all working together through opportunities that Helping Hands provided for us. So for example, Kelly, she organized the Christmas cards that we would send to our global workers. So we all sent them Christmas cards, and Colleen and Frank, who sponsored Syrian refugees, hosted games nights and baby showers for us and provided opportunities for us to connect with other people. And Kristen and Jillian, they work in Langley's inner city schools, and they shared their hearts with us, and then we were able to support and pray for them in those areas that they were going into in life. Also, Greg, he was working with people with special needs here and abroad, and it was just amazing to support him and encourage him in those areas that God had given him to serve. So we also, as a group, worked with the Helping Hands, and we volunteered at the Salvation Army Kettle Drive to raise money for the Gateway of Hope. And it's such a great organization to help people who are in need, and I think that was a huge blessing for us to be a part of that. And there was so much more that happened within our group and in the community that helped us unite and also helped us connect with our neighbors. Helping Hands also offered me an opportunity. So there's Christmas hampers. You guys know the Helping Hands at Christmas. So there's also an opportunity for Christmas hampers to go out. And so there was a request to find where the need was. And so I talked to my friend Luke, who is a part of Kwantlen. He's a Kwantlen member, and he's our Aboriginal support worker at our church. Or sorry, no, at our school, the school that I work at. And so when I was talking to him, I was just asking him what the needs were. And through talking with him over time, I learned of the needs and why the needs were there. Yeah, I learned a lot about Kwantlen and other Indigenous peoples groups that have had a lot of hardships come their way, and a lot of it at the hand of the church institution. So, do you guys know where Kwantlen is? It's just down the street and over the bridge and to the right. A lot of people don't know, and I didn't know, that not too long ago there were children who were ripped from their homes and from their families, and they were sent away to residential schools. Do you guys know where the train station is? You know that it looks beautiful, white with green trim, and a lot of people take pictures there. Well, that at that location, a lot of children were sent away on trains to head off to residential schools. And at those residential schools, people in power, falsely using the name of God, did such horrendous crimes to innocent children. And there's a lot of hurt, and there's not a lot of generational trauma that has gone along with that hurt, especially towards the church. So an opportunity to spread love and encouragement was amazing. So an opportunity to share God's love through Christmas hampers was great. So A lot of times my friend Luke would say, it's hard because people don't look beyond stereotypes. And it's hard for us sometimes to listen without being defensive and saying, well, that wasn't me, that was somebody else. But not realizing that those people see the church as the church. And so the church that did them harm, they often see every time they see church. So it was a great opportunity to break down those walls a little bit and bring that homemade meal to those. We brought homemade meals to families and other things as well, other hampers to help people when they were having a hard time even stepping foot in a church or seeing people who are at a church in a good way. So Luke has actually come back. He's come back quite a few times, and on a regular basis, he comes to this church, a place that was once so hurtful, a place that he saw as very hurtful, and he couldn't step foot in, and now he returns. And he's not here with us today, but I'm just so thankful every time he does come. In fact, he even has connected with other people on staff, and last spring, Kwantlen held the salmon ceremony, and he invited quite a few of us, and we went there, and it was so wonderful to be a part of something where they were welcoming us, and it was beautiful. Yaistal, and that is the Hunkaminam word, the language of this area, for working together. So it's beautiful to have that opportunity. So I continue to think of ways that I want to connect with people who are seen as often the other. Some of my friends that I've met through Living Waters over the years have gone through a lot of challenges as well. And sometimes my friends who come to church don't go to church anymore. Sometimes my friends have moved away to different places and they're going through their own hardships. Some of them have moved away for good reasons and are in different provinces or even different countries. And I still see them as a part of my church, as the body of Christ. They're my close friends who stay at my place in my spare room if they need a place of refuge or when their spouse is in the hospital. They're the ones in my life, in my church, who come to be with me when I have to go to medical appointments, when I'm scared. They cry with me when life is tough, and they laugh at me and with me when life gets too serious. The church is not confined to these walls. I'm so thankful for this place, but the church is not confined to these walls or the people who attend this service or this church at all. Jesus calls our hearts to love the church and be the church beyond these walls. Since October, I've been dealing with some serious health issues, and I've had a lot of time to look at who I am in Christ and who is here with me in my community. Along this journey, the story of the woman at the well in John 4 has touched my heart. And either through podcasts or sermons or my own devotionals, I've seen some things that have really spoken to my heart. If you get a chance, listen to the Down to Earth podcast. They're really encouraging and challenging. So a few things that God has been speaking to me is that, number one, when Jesus saw the woman at the well, he broke the social norms when he talked to her. And I think that we all need to look at our own social rules and religious practices that keep us from loving others, and look for ways where we can find diversity and richness in our relationships, and where we can make space for the other. And number two, Jesus saw the woman at the well and knew all about her. He knew her. And she was pretty shocked by that too. And I think we all want to be known. We all want to be seen. And I'm so thankful that on that day when I was sitting out by myself, that I felt known by Michael tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "You're not alone." I felt known when people listened to me and gave me hugs and encouragement. And number three, number three, Jesus asked something of the woman when he asked for a drink from her. A lot of times, we can be busy and working hard, but I personally had a time since October where I felt like pretty useless. I felt like a lot of people had to take care of me, and that was really challenging. And I was blessed by people who told me about how I had an impact on their lives. And Jesus wants us to know our value. And he asks something of us to give our community and show us that we are valuable. So look at the ways that God is showing you that you are valuable, that you have something to offer. And number four, Jesus offered the woman at the well far more beyond her understanding. Jesus gives us good gifts, but a lot of times we don't actually see them as that. And something that God keeps on showing me is I need to open up my eyes to the water that he gives me rather than the water that I expect to be given. So it looks different than what I'm expecting sometimes. In John 4:12, Jesus answered the woman at the well, and he said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We have all experienced brokenness at one time, and God is calling us to love and in love to reconciliation, to worship him together in spirit and in truth, as John 4:23 says. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you, Christy. Thanks for sharing with us today. And thank you for taking the risks and charting some of the paths that you have that have opened some of the doors into some of the important conversations for the life of our church. Thank you. I wrote a few things down that I heard today, and I wonder what you heard, but I heard us talking about the fact that God is working in the lives of our children as much as he's working in our lives. I heard about a challenge to create community and not just receive it. I heard about the power of vulnerability and diversity. I heard about the power of risk and reconciliation and participation and the power of generosity. And I love, Christy, what you said. I just wrote this down just now in the middle of what you're sharing. You said, you asked the question, who are the people we need to look out for and to say, you are not alone? I think that's a beautiful question. Who are the people we need to look out for and to say to them, you are not alone? Yeah. So I wonder what you're taking away from the service today. As you walk out the door, maybe think of one or two things that you felt, that you heard or you felt that God say to you. Why don't we stand together as we conclude? This past weekend was Valentine's Day, and I stumbled across this, which is from a scholar in England named Paula Gooder, and she did what she calls a riff on Colossians chapter 3, and translates it this way: put on the ability to be moved by others, genuine expressions of the love you feel, the instinct to be generous, the desire to be seen as you really are, neither greater nor lower, gentle courtesy, solid steadfastness. Joyfully put up with the quirks of each other. Be deeply gracious, putting the best light on the things that people say and do. Most of all, make sure you put on love. Make it the first thing you put on in the morning and the last thing you take off at night. Love is what weaves everything together perfectly. And to that, I think that we can all say, amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you soon.